Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So this morning, today on this 100-year anniversary, we are remembering and we are thankful for the sacrifice of all those who gave their lives so that we can have our freedoms and live in a country which enjoys peace. Many of us have connections to the military or have family relations who have fought for us. I grew up in the naval town, Gosport, near Portsmouth. Portsmouth is the home of the Royal Navy. Both of my grandfathers were in the Royal Navy and served in World War II and survived. But war continued to touch our lives as children. We were given the day off school to watch the ships go out for the Falklands War and to see them come back again. It's something that I will always remember. So whilst on this day we remember so much for the fallen, for the wars of the last 100 years, so many of us have that personal connection. So how do we reconcile today's passage of peace that Jesus leaves with us for all time, when the reality is that we still have conflict? We still have conflict in our world, within our communities, in our cities, within our homes, and sometimes within ourselves as well. So we've been reflecting on the theme of peace over the last few weeks, and last week we were reminded that as Christians, peace can bring a division. So being Christians can bring a division and can put us in a position of conflict with people who perhaps don't share our beliefs. But this week the focus is on the peace that Jesus leaves for us and is available for us. In the passage it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The theme of the passage that these verses come from is, do not let your hearts be troubled. The disciples are anxious. Jesus is going to leave them. Their whole world as they have known it over the last few years, travelling with him, learning from him, is going to change. And the image he chooses in this text is orphans. Losing Jesus for the disciples is like losing a parent. That's the severity of the loss that they're about to face. And they're about to launch into their own mission without him. And after their blunders and their mistakes and getting it wrong so often, I think they would feel like they weren't really up to the task just yet. However, in the passage, Jesus is telling them that by his leaving, it will only benefit them, because it will reveal God to them. It will secure their destiny. He had to die in order for us to have that future hope and that relationship with God. His leaving them would equip them for the mission that was ahead of them. Leaving means sending the Holy Spirit. In our passage, it talks about the Holy Spirit being sent to be with them. The Holy Spirit promises to unite them, to guide them, and help them to be obedient to Jesus, to help them to follow his teachings. The Holy Spirit would be a teacher of truth. Peace was also promised with the coming of the Spirit. In this country right now, we live in peace, especially compared to other parts of the world. However, the peace that Jesus leaves does not take people away from their situations, but it means that in the face of suffering, we can enjoy and experience his peace. This is Horatio Spafford. He lived in Chicago in the late 1800s. He was a prominent lawyer and a leader in the Presbyterian Church. However, he was struck with disaster. In the late 1800s, there was a great fire in Chicago, and as a prominent lawyer, he'd invested in a lot of property. And all that property was burnt. But not only that, his son of 2 years old died in that fire. So he decided that he was going to leave America and sail to Europe. So he sent his wife and four daughters ahead of him because he still had business to deal with and sort out in Chicago. So he put them on a boat ahead of himself. Not long after they set sail, he received a telegram to say that the ship had sunk and that all his four daughters had died. And the telegram was from his wife that said, "Saved alone." A few weeks later, he himself got on a ship and sailed across to Europe. And at the point of where that first ship sunk, he wrote this hymn. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." What faith, what reliance on Jesus, what understanding and acceptance of peace that Jesus offers us. Despite all his suffering, Horatio had grasped what Jesus had done for him. He understood that he had an eternal hope. He knew that Jesus' death made a way for him and saved him, and that all was well with his soul, no matter what life threw at him. But the story doesn't stop there, because after arriving in Europe, he moved to Jerusalem, where he set up the American colony, and he worked among the Jewish and Muslim and Christian communities. During and immediately after World War I, this colony played a critical role in supporting those communities through the great suffering that they endured. They ran soup kitchens, hospitals and orphanages, and other charitable ventures. "Whatever my lot, you have taught me to know. It is well with my soul." That comes from having the Holy Spirit and from recognizing what Jesus had done for him. In the Bible, the dove has been a symbol of peace ever since the story of Noah and the flood. When Noah was still in the ark, the dove was sent out to see if there was dry land. And then eventually the dove returned with an olive twig, a sign that God was giving humanity a fresh start. He was no longer angry. It was a time of peace between God and humans once more. In Luke, the image of the dove is used again, but this time to represent the Holy Spirit. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove." The Holy Spirit rested on Jesus. As followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit rests on us as well. He's gentle. He is present. He is with us. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. He's our helper. Our teacher. He is from God. We can trust him. He reminds us of all the ways of Jesus. If Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us, that must mean we need him. The Holy Spirit is with us. He lives in us. He is among us. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Last week, we were taught about the sword that Jesus uses to cut away parts of our character, some of our attitudes, some of our behaviors that are not pleasing to him, that are not right. We need to submit to Jesus. He is our Lord. Sometimes I believe we don't experience peace in our lives because we are not submitting to Jesus, because we are not allowing him to remove those things which don't belong in our lives. We've already confessed this morning that we are sinful. We do things that we shouldn't do. We think things that we shouldn't think. And yet we come before Jesus again and say, forgive us, fill us, Lord. Holy Spirit, guide us and teach us. As St. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. We have that conflict in us all the time. Is there something in how we are living that means we are not grasping that peace that is available for us? Maybe God is speaking to us this morning, and maybe we don't experience that peace because there's something which doesn't belong in our lives. Sometimes we don't experience peace as our minds are out of control. The Bible talks a lot about setting our minds and deciding on a course of action and determining in our minds and our minds being tested. Minds are busy and often the source of all sorts of actions and thoughts, but they need to be submitted to God's will too. In Matthew 22:37, it says, "He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.'" I don't know about you, but my head gets really busy, and it keeps me awake. It always has done. When I was a child, my parents used to send me to bed, and they used to know that some nights I used to be lying awake for hours before I went to sleep, because I just couldn't stop thinking. And then eventually I remember my mum coming upstairs sort of 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night and me still being wide awake. And she used to pray for me. And she used to put her hand on my head and prayed for that peace that passes understanding. And as a child, I remember this feeling starting at the top of my head and going all the way through my body, right the way to my toes. Just this immense sense of peace and calm used to come over me. And I went to sleep. Sometimes I still, when those moments of my mind is racing, I forget. And then I remember that there is peace for me. There is peace so that I might find rest. And so I pray, sometimes not as quickly as I should do. And I pray for that peace. And although my mum's hand isn't there, it still runs from the top of my head down to my feet. Because it's available for all of us. Peace that goes beyond and passes all human understanding. Peace that passes understanding when our situations, from anybody looking from the outside in, thinking, well, why are they calm? Why are they peaceful? We can have peace inside because of what Jesus has done for us. Where do we need to ask for peace in our lives? Where do we need to experience that peace that Jesus has left for us? My take on it is that if he has left it for us, then we really need to take it, and we need to go and get it for ourselves. We need it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Jesus left peace for us to have. He gives us peace. His peace does not look like what we're remembering today. It's in addition to what we're remembering today. Today we remember the end of the Great War and all the wars since, and a start of a time of peace where people began to return to some kind of normality after the pain and the suffering they had endured. But the peace that Jesus leaves us is not dependent on our circumstances and situations. It's not dependent on the decisions of our political leaders. It is not dependent on how we feel. We do not need to be afraid, just like the disciples did not need to be afraid. They did not need to be anxious. We do not need to have restless hearts. We have the ultimate, the 24-carat peace available to each of us. It's a peace that is constant. We say to each other, don't we, peace be with you. It is amazing to go and live in peace, to have that, So let us receive that peace left for each one of us. Let us receive a peace that passes all worldly understanding. I don't want to miss out on living the way that Jesus intended for me. I'm sure we don't want to miss out on the way that Jesus intended for us to live. Last week we prayed, strengthen us to live in the power of his Spirit. Help us to choose help from the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who teaches us and reminds us the way of our Saviour. This morning, let us not miss the opportunity. Let us receive that peace in our innermost being, peace that the Holy Spirit brings for us, rests on us, lives in us, so that we may live the way that Jesus intended us to. Amen.